Flood Resilience Committee for Monday, October 3rd. Again, and Brad, since you're here this time, I want to thank you and your folks for everything that everybody did during the storm. I know we did everybody during PJL, but you're sitting there. So I want to thank you. And Andy, you're in the back. And your work's just beginning. I get it. And as long as my debris is gone by 5 today, you'll have no problem from me. I'm sure you're hearing that all over town. We have an agenda that has been published. Item number 2 is the approval of the minutes from September 6th.
Move for approval.
Second. We have a motion, second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Item 3, public comments. If there are any public comments, please come forward, give a name and address, and you get 2.5 minutes. Anyone? All right. Item 4, continued discussion of draft environmental guidelines for land development. Is Mr. Pagliarini in the room? This does say discussion, so let's keep it at that, just to be safe. Even if we could, let's not open ourselves up for criticism. Kevin, thank you.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the committee. This will be a very brief presentation. This is just an update. Let me kind of skip forward here real quick.
I should have been doing my
job. This is just going to be a brief update of where we are and where we've been. If you recall, this is a point system program. It's specifically geared towards commercial development and redevelopment because we feel like that's where it's going to be a lot of use in the future as Mount Pleasant continues to grow. We went through the setup of the program. And also last month, we talked about level 2 and level 3 incentives. We read your concerns about the level 3. We removed level 3 from the program setup. And right now, if y'all remember this is the exhibit that we used. Level 1 is the minimum requirement that we have. We have the 4 impact categories, 25 points apiece. And then we had the other 2 incentive levels there. So we removed level 3 from there, and then we were maintaining the level 2 incentives, which also entails the level 2 was the main focus of that was site improvements. We talked about the buffer flexibility, the dual use of buffers, and the pervious parking in level 2, and level 3 was focused on the building flexibility. So we're removing that one. And then what we have before you today is the minimum standards for level 1. That's the 100 points. We have a point distribution table where it lists a whole lot of LID techniques to be applied for commercial redevelopment. And then the level 2 incentives, that's the buffer flexibility for similarly zoned adjacent parcels. And one key point about that is that when you have a commercial butted up against a residential, that buffer is not going to change. We know the value of that. So commercial to commercial gives them that flexibility of that width of that buffer. The dual use of the buffer too, we heard that from a lot of the design professionals during our stakeholder meetings, is the ability to use the dual use of buffer either for conveyance or storage with stormwater. So that, of course, is going to remain as an incentive option too. And also the pervious parking spaces. Right now, we prohibit pervious parking spaces until it reaches the max or the minimum number of spaces. Well, removing that would allow that to be part of the design. And in discussion with Brad and staff, we took a closer look at the pervious parking spaces, how it would really be applied. And what we have is a situation of where the pervious parking spaces could be an expense to certain types of commercial development. That's, let's say you have one commercial development on undeveloped parcels. You have another commercial development on existing parcels with all the impervious surface. So if you're developing on a parcel without the impervious surface, you're going to be required to have on-site detention. So it would benefit that individual to reduce the impervious surface by using the pervious parking spaces in that particular case. So on the other hand, if you have a completely developed commercial property and they're going to redevelop, they have all the impervious surface they need, so they really wouldn't need, so the on-site detention would not be required in that situation. So the pervious parking spaces wouldn't benefit them as much because there would be no reduction in their on-site detention. I know that's a little confusing, but what my point is, it would kind of treat two commercial sites a little differently. So what we're going to recommend is just moving that pervious parking spaces to the minimum level of 100 points, within the minimum threshold level, and then keeping the buffer changes for the level two options for consideration. And I know I over-explained that too much, but we just want to simply move the pervious parking spaces up to level one minimum requirements, so we treat all commercial property equally. That summarizes that. And we're available for any questions, committee, you know, whatever discussion y'all would like to have, but we would like to go ahead and begin draft ordinance and move this through the process. If y'all
let me ask a quick engineering question. I've wondered about this since going back to the days. Somebody remind me, when did we pass the 40% impervious surface coverage limit for the flood-prone areas of Mount Pleasant? Was, I think Mr. Bustos chaired planning at that time, isn't that right? Was that 2018, maybe?
I believe 19? It was a few years ago, yes, sir. I would say 2018, if I had to guess.
And if I remember, that only applies, I think, to everything west of Coleman Boulevard. Is that right? Old Mount Pleasant?
Yes, sir.
Christy Ann's nodding back. Yeah, that's the planning director. Right,
yes, yeah. It followed the 2017 Thompson-Hutton stormwater report, and then the impervious surface came after that.
Okay.
So it had to be 2018.
There you go. What is the engineering world's issue with gravel parking?
Well, I don't think it's the engineering aspects of it. It's the use of the gravel parking. It's unstable, and typically, when you have a commercial property and you have unstable parking, then you get a nuisance problem with the owner and the tenants. And the tenants don't want the gravel because of the instability of that surface material. So so it typically ends up just becoming a paved area after it's already been approved and built to be a gravel parking spaces.
Okay.
But Mr. Mayor, in as a little caveat, as part of what we're proposing, is the gravel actually be only no more than 20% and be located the farthest away from the building. That way that doesn't occur.
Right.
And those spaces don't get used quite as frequently as the ones that would have the hard level pervious pavers would.
This might be the chair of the historical commission is no longer here. How did we end up with all the gravel parking at Shim Creek?
Oh,
that predates a lot of us.
That never was paved to begin with.
No, never was.
So it never did. It never was required through any type of redevelopment criteria. They didn't.
Christine, some of that may go back to your day as planning group, but
she's not that old.
Yeah, no, I was not insulting your age. I just meant that back to your tenure in that position, because I don't remember. But it was just a point that we've got a lot of gravel parking in one place in town. We don't really have it anywhere else, and I get it. And of course, we all know that it doesn't have to be gravel to be pervious.
Mayor, can I
yes, please.
Weigh in on that question?
Please.
Because I was going to weigh in about the pervious surface and also the gravel. The gravel is a nuisance if it's adjacent to the sidewalk and adjacent to the road. The gravel creates a hazardous condition for pedestrians. It also creates it for vehicles on a road. What I was going to suggest, where we're allowing gravel, is to make sure that the either pavers or something else solid is adjacent to the sidewalk and the road a certain distance, so that that gravel is retained on that property and doesn't create the hazard on the sidewalks and on the road. But there is a reason that in a town or in a city, that you don't want gravel adjacent to the sidewalk, the road, because it's a hazard.
That makes sense. Thank you.
I can't, while I'm a little older than most people in here, that gravel at Shem Creek has been there in my lifetime, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I guess part of the discussion we need to have on here, where you see draft ordinance to begin, is the right way to go with this to leave it as incentives, or is the right way to go, as you were quoted in the media saying, or one of y'all, why don't we just do it? I don't know if staff has any input on that. I mean, the object is to get to this. And if by making it just, this is, if you redevelop in Mount Pleasant, this is what you have to do. If it gets pushed back or if it becomes a detriment, then obviously we're not accomplishing anything if people don't do it or don't redevelop because of that. That would be the reason for using the incentive program to get there. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it makes sense. And I think the whole idea is to try to get to that level. We're not there yet. In the future, we may be.
Okay.
We have been chastised by business community for being anti-business. This gives us an opportunity where we work with business. We work with the community. We work with the engineers to create a better solution for designing parking areas, et cetera, for businesses. So I'd like, and we eliminated the part about height, which I think probably was the most difficult in our owners. So I would like to see us do something with the incentives. I think these are reasonable incentives. It gets us further down the road to where we eventually need to be. And it's a, I think, a business-friendly way of doing that.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Corley.
You know, I think you guys know, this is, I feel like this is great, and we're going in the right direction. I just want to make sure that as people take us up on these, that we really blow them up, like just celebrate them. And like the first one that, don't you think, like we all show up and do a huge grand opening and just, you know, I know that doesn't mean a lot, but maybe it does.
Yeah, no, recognition is an important incentive too.
I just want to, I mean, I think we all wanted to make it a big party and make it a big deal, but no, like we're going in the right direction. Thank you again.
Thank you.
I love this.
And on that note, also, if I remember, and I cannot remember every single detail of all of this, part of this is the electric recharging stations, right, for electric vehicles?
Yes, sir. That's part of the point distribution table that will have a certain amount of points for either signs or either having the actual stations themselves installed.
During all the emergency stuff we're doing, Eric DeMore and I were having this conversation. I noticed for the first time, with this, and I know we're not talking about massive areas for people to recharge, but when they were evacuating, trying to evacuate the west coast of Florida, the Weather Channel showed the panhandle and called it an electric desert. Florida has the highest number of electric vehicles in the country. And so they were talking about when you have a mass evacuation, oh my gosh, where is everybody going to recharge? Well, we're an evacuation area, and I know this does not solve that problem, but wouldn't it be nice if somebody with an electric vehicle that's in a sports bar watching TV says, oh, I better go out and charge my car. You know, these are small steps, but that's how you get up the ladder, you know. So I agree. We want to get there. I think in our lifetime, maybe in our tenure, who knows, that these things will be the norm. So, yes, Ms. Hyatt.
I'll just say, yeah, what I think what my quote was I said that we could make them mandatory, not that, you know, that we were at this time. But does anything about this parking go against our current parking ordinance, or is there any adjustments we need to make there? Because I've said all along I didn't understand why parking always had to be pervious. So
yeah,
I'm happy for it not to be.
Yeah, me either. And yes, ma'am, it does. Right now, our current regulations require asphalt parking up to the minimum number of parking spaces. And above that, it's gravel or pervious. So what this would do, it would allow them to have pervious parking spaces for all the parking spaces. So yes, okay. Ma'am, there is currently a regulation to prohibit it, but right. Now, you know, we could write this in to where it lifts that.
Okay, it'll fix that. Okay.
Do we need a motion? I guess we do. To begin a draft ordinance with
I'll move to move forward with a draft ordinance with the environmental guidelines and land development.
And please say as presented because they changed them. Right.
As presented.
Thank you.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Any other? And we may have to do that again. I forgot it says discussion, but well, no, that's right. That doesn't do anything. Y'all just gives y'all the thing to work on it. Right.
Yeah,
it will have to come back and we'll have to actually vote. All right. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.